I'm Rudy Edmond, and this is Doris Edmond. And we are the co-sponsors of this program this afternoon, which really relates to retirement planning. And what you need to do in the way of lead time things in order to get ready for retirement. And we've been involved in a program of this kind now for 6 years at Thousand Oaks, and before that we were involved in the lifelong learning program at California Lutheran College. So we have been sort of doing this kind of thing for the last 10 years, and we are retired now as of 1980, but I think both of us still do a certain amount of work, so we aren't entirely retired from California Lutheran College. I still teach there part-time, but only part-time, and I'm happy that it is part-time at this point. And Doris is not teaching directly, but continues to be active in the program in the college. And so we're still involved in a sense. But what we thought we would do this afternoon is to tell you of a series of workshops that we conduct under the sponsorship of Aid Association for Lutherans. And it's called their SMART program. And here's a brochure on it, which I can show you later. I only have a couple, so I don't have enough that they could be passed around. But the SMART really stands for Senior Member and Retiree Training. So it's a series of workshops, 8 in all. Each workshop takes 2 hours, and we meet usually once a week for 8 weeks, and then take up some specific topic each time. And I thought we would just go through the topics that we consider, and in no way are we going to try and cover the material that we cover in this 8-week session in an hour, but mainly it's to acquaint you with the availability of this particular program. Now, I'm sure that wherever you come from, there is an Aid Association for Lutherans insurance company representative somewhere in your area. Now, maybe we could just see hands of those who know that there is one in your area, or that you are a part.
How many have taken the course?
You have taken the course, the SMART workshop course. Good. Well, you can help us then, so that you will be our...
Have you thought about being leaders?
Yeah.
And it's so much fun to lead. They give you such a thorough training, and they're always needing new leaders.
We were interested in it because we got in on the ground floor of it 6 years ago, and we were impressed with the amount of research that they did in putting this program together, and in the amount of money that they put into it to provide materials. So it's a workshop, series of workshops that cost you nothing. They pay all the bills, the insurance company. It's a fraternal kind of insurance, so that it's free, and you can't beat the price. And you get a good opportunity to make new friends and meet people and have a good series of work materials to work through. And we found an excellent preparation for retirement.
I think one of the most valuable things about this is that both husband and wife do it together. So both of you know where you stand financially, as well as plans. A lot of times you don't know what your mate is thinking about in terms of where shall we live and that sort of thing at retirement time. And two, do you know whether or not you've made a will, and what are the consequences if you don't make a will? These are the things I think that both husband and wife need to talk about, and this gives them the opportunity to do that. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think we'll just tell you of the topics we consider each time, and just give you maybe just a very brief idea of what's involved in these sessions, and then let you respond in any way or ask any questions that you wish, and we'll just go through the sequence. The first time we meet, we talk about attitude, about retirement. How do you feel about retirement? Is it something you're looking forward to? Is it something that's forced on you? Or is it something else, whatever. But whether or not you approach retirement with a good attitude or a poor attitude really makes a great deal of difference. And one of the things that we have that we show at this time is a film, which is made by the Gerontological Center of two or three different ones. And they have put together good material into a film. And the film basically shows three retired people and gives you some insight into their preparation for retirement. One character in the program is a person that is retired, has been retired for 10 years, 75 years of age. And he was formerly an important person in a major corporation. And he just does not let go. He's a hanger-on, in a sense, in that he still gets up at 5:30 every morning. He goes to the office. And although he's retired as an official of the company, he still maintains an office there. He's a member of certain boards and committees. And he stays involved. And his point is that I'm going to continue to do that as long as I live. This is the way I want it to be. And then there's another person, a lady who takes a part of another person with a different attitude. And she said, well, by the time she came to retirement age, she was ready to give up the kind of thing that she had been doing for many, many years. But she wanted to change her involvement into something else and retire to something else. So that she picked up a whole different line of work and is still very active and going strong after several years after retirement. So she made a complete break, but doing something very different. Now the third person in the film that comes on is a person who says, when I got to be 65, I had it. I was tired of the rat race. I had been getting up and making all the time schedules. And at 65, I'm ready to turn it over to somebody else. And so he's completely disengaged from anything. And he says, don't ask me how I spend my time. I get up when I want to in the morning. I do what I want to do all day. And I have no plans, no obligations. So I just do what I want to do. And that's the way I want it to be. Totally disengaged. Well, you can see there are three very different attitudes here. Now, no one is to say, what's the right attitude for you? You know, it's what you feel comfortable with. And it would be different for every person. And so that's the conclusion that you're left with. Well, think about it. And then be prepared to do whatever you think is the right thing to do at the point when you come to retirement. But don't let it just sneak up on you, because it is going to happen. And when it does happen, then be prepared for it. Now, anyone have any response to this? I think it'd be helpful to see how many in the room are already retired. Several. Yes, several of you are already retired. And do you have any feelings about where you would fit in this kind of a category? Do you feel that you're still involved, or are you floating kind of free? Any response anybody want to make?
Probably so busy volunteering you don't have time to do anything else.
And you wonder how you ever had time to go to work.
Right.
I know that's basically the feeling that you get from oftentimes from very many people who are actually retired.
Well, I know when I stopped teaching, I wanted to retire from teaching, but I really wanted to focus on something, you know, have a purpose, because I just couldn't imagine not having something to kind of keep working at all the time. Because when I was teaching, I was preparing all week long for my class. And so I went into as a volunteer for child abuse and neglect in Ventura County, just so I could be doing something to help children, because I've been working with children all my life. This is entirely different from anything I've ever done, and I can volunteer just as much time as I want, part-time to go in and as a child advocate to the classrooms, helping children behave so that their parents don't abuse them. And another activity I hope to start this fall is teaching is a parents class, teaching parents who have been incarcerated for abusing their children. It's entirely different from what I've been doing, but still there's the purpose is pretty much the same, something for the welfare of children. And now Rudy's been continuing to teach, and he does a lot of volunteer work too.
Okay, well, let's go on to, so you know what the second night is when we meet for 2 hours. That deals with financial resources. And at this point, the workbook that we have has a blank in it for each participant to figure out their net worth and to figure it out in conjunction with their spouse, if they're married, and to go through this in a systematic way to figure out what you actually are worth if you liquidated everything, if you sold everything today. I mean your silverware, your antiques, your coin collection. If you liquidated everything today, what would your net worth be? And you figure out then the debts that you owe and all of the assets that you have. And then you have a financial base at which you can look at together or individually. Now, one thing I want to make clear is that although we do this in the workshop, we do this independently, and it's a very personal kind of thing. And we don't ask people to share what their net worth is. That's obviously not the purpose. The purpose is to get everyone to go through the routine and the discipline of really figuring out where you stand financially. And this is something that one needs to do a long time before you actually retire, and then keep it up to date so that you know where you stand at any particular time relative to what your financial situation is. Once we do that, then you're in a position to start making a preliminary kind of budget, because you know that at the point of retirement, there are ongoing things. You're going to have certain bills, certain things that you're obligated to that you continue to pay. Other things will drop off. You also know that your paycheck is going to stop at the point where you retire, so then you need to figure out how you supplement for that amount of income if you're going to balance the budget. So we get people to go ahead and work out a tentative kind of budget for retirement. And whether they're 10 years away from that or whether they're right up against it, we do it. And then what we do is to consider some of the problems that you're involved in the financial area, in planning, on a kind of a group basis. We talk about the problem. We don't talk about people's individual problems. But certainly, what would you say is the most, one of the most important things to consider today in terms of financial planning, trying to figure out what your assets are? What's the most critical thing we face right now? Inflation. Inflation, you see, is really one of the major things. And we try to deal with this, and how do you protect yourself, and how, what's the best way to protect yourself against inflation as it continues into the future? Are there certain hedges that you can avail yourself of? Here we try to get financial expertise from people who are knowledgeable in these areas. And certainly, as you begin to think about that, the bankers, people who know what the tax situation is, the legal persons that might be involved, because taxes and inflation, you see, are things that are common in one way or another to everybody. And how we're going to cope with that in retirement, you see, becomes a very major kind of problem to plan for. So that's one of the things. Net worth, and at this point we bring in the Social Security agent from the local area. And we try to spend some time with that person to understand what our Social Security is going to be. Now, it's important to start doing this before you come to the point of actual retirement. It takes at least 6 months to get the records in order before you retire with the Social Security agency in order to be sure that you don't miss your first check. And we try to make sure that people get their records straight, because you have to write to Washington or the computer center and get all of the computer data out that's recorded on you. Be sure that your Social Security number is correct, and to check all of this against your income tax returns over the previous maybe 10, 15 years, and see so that there aren't any mistakes in computing your Social Security. So this is the kind of thing that takes some lead time,
and Medicare
it takes
too.
Planning. Yes, to be ready for Medicare and be ready for Social Security at the point when that becomes important.
Because if you don't apply for Medicare in time, why? What happens?
Well, you may not get it right then, and you may not make yourself eligible. The point of view: these are things that you have to apply for. That is it. They're available, you have earned them, and you've paid into them, but you don't get them unless you apply for them. And so it's important to understand that these things take time, and that's the kind of thing we try to get clear and explain. Now, do you have any questions about financial resources?
Do you cover that in 1 2-hour session?
We try. We do our best, and obviously that's not enough time for it, but the point is that we don't want to pose as the experts to solve all the problems. We mainly want to raise them and to make people understand where they can get help, because obviously in some of this you have to see other people to really get it, everything straight. Certainly your own company pension, you know, is something that you need to go to the company personnel office or whatever. And if you're a teacher or whatever, you need to know exactly where it's coming from and at least approximate what the amount is going to be at retirement time. So pulling all of this together takes some homework, you see. And before each session, we have a series of things that are to be done before you come to the session. So it's a work kind of thing. You're 61 at the present time. And I, you know, I do not have the expertise to tell you when and exactly how, but you should be in touch with your local judicatory person, whoever it is, and they'll tell you who to contact. But it's important to...
I started drawing Social Security when I was 62.
I think that's something you have to check out. In other words, you'd have to check out, are you eligible for Social Security? And you're also eligible for a pastor's wife's widow's pension. And these are things that you learn about from two different sources and then put it together. So I think that's basically what you have to do. Now, any other question or comment? Well, the next session, the third session, deals with financial planning. Because at this point in life, you're going to change to a financial planner rather than an earner of financial resources. So what you're basically going to do is to use the finances you have accumulated, the assets that you've accumulated in retirement to provide a cash flow. All right, look at it this way. Maybe you work right up to the time you're 65 and you accumulate insurance, you accumulate a home, you may buy property, and all of those things. But when you come to the point of retirement, and then you need to look at where the cash is going to come from, because you can't just immediately sell your house or your real estate or your farm, whatever. But you're going to have to plan now on how the money is going to come in from your various assets. And we bring in the insurance specialist at this point and say, what can you do with your insurance policies now? You're past the stage when you have to provide for your children, and you're now thinking about providing for yourself in retirement, and you're going to wonder what you can do with your insurance policies that you've been paying on all this time. You have money in them. And the question is, do you turn it into an annuity now and then receive a regular payment from the money that you have in it? Or how do you deal with your property? And these things call for some good financial planning. And so the thing is to examine all your investments and see how they can help you now at the point of retirement. Do you have any questions about that? It's really managing your assets to provide a cash flow.
Do they go into all the different accounts? Like there's so many different ones now.
Yes, we encourage people to go to their bankers. Find out, what kind of, how you should invest your money to get the best return. Should you sell your house and buy something else? And what should you do about what you have accumulated? Should you hold tight on the way you have it now, or should you begin to change it? So every person's situation is different, and you need to think about it and then come to some conclusion that best fits you. But the important thing is to get all the good advice you can get before you make the decision. And that's basically what we're trying.
There's one other source to contact, and that is people in the investment field, securities field.
Yes.
Because there is possible that you can shift from annuities into bonds that will pay you a much higher
rate
for a definite period of time.
That's right. And
money market T-bills.
Yeah. It's a matter of looking at all of these things and then figuring out with your assets. That's why we do a net worth statement. Get everything down in black and white, and then you can go to an advisor and ask him, how can I best deal with this to get the maximize the amount of revenue on a cash flow basis? Well, that's a big session. And it's always an important one. And people find that it's very helpful to go through this discipline and really try to understand what their situation is in terms of their assets and planning for the future. Well, the fourth session is leisure time. Leisure time. Assume now that you're a person who is 65 years of age and you're going to retire. And the statistical actuarial basis for how long you might expect to live probably would tell you that you can expect a gift of, at this point, of approximately 30,000 hours that you're going to have after you quit or after your job is all done. Now, where does that 30,000 hours come from? Comes from the fact that you can expect to live, you're 65, you can expect to live, say, to 78 or 80 or beyond. And if you take that span of time and figure out the amount of time you would have spent in doing your job, getting to your job, preparing for your job, and when you add it all together, it'll add up to a very large number of hours that you now have as a gift. And you don't have to go to work. You don't have to drive the freeway. And you can then begin to think about, how am I going to spend this much time? And that becomes then a very important consideration. And perhaps this is one of the most critical for many people, particularly people who are forced into retirement. That is, you've gone right up to the point, your time has been consumed in your job. Now it's no longer consumed in that way. And many times people do not know how to handle this. And they have not prepared themselves for being able to deal with it. And so, statistically, you know, people who really haven't planned and who have to work right up to 65 and are forced to retire, many of them don't live very long in retirement. A matter of months, quite often. And it gets to them. So it's a very important kind of consideration. And the question is, what are you going to do with all of that time? Are you going to work part-time? Are you going to need to earn money? That's one of the major considerations. And that you should know at the point of figuring out your finances and your resources and how you can plan. Then, if you have to earn money, then your leisure time might be consumed, at least in part, by doing something that will pay you. Maybe converting a hobby into something that you can sell. Or it may be going to work on a part-time basis. Or it may be continuing right where you are, only just on a part-time basis. So, it's the question of what you're going to do in way of activities that make it important for you to get up every morning and face yourself in the mirror and feel good about it. You know, you don't want to be down in the mouth because, what am I going to do with my time? You know, one of the things you have to think about, one person put it this way, you're going to have twice as much husband and half as much pay. What are you going to do with hubby around the house all day long? What's he going to do? You know, and for some people, this becomes a very critical kind of thing. You have too much time together. You see, you've never had that much time together since you were first engaged and began your marriage life, before the children came.
I have an interesting sidelight on this. We live in what is called Leisure Village, so at least half of the people there are retired. And I know one of the women said that when her husband retired, he started following her around the kitchen all the time, just drove her bats. And then he started organizing her kitchen. He started alphabetizing all her spices and telling her how she could be more. He became her efficiency expert, and she didn't appreciate it one little bit.
Yeah.
I've got a little saying. I married my husband for better, for worse, but not for much.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments or anything you want to add to this? Well, I think you agree that the time is maybe as important as money when you think about retirement. Maybe even more important than money. Somehow or another, you can manage the money, but you may not be able to manage the time that you have when you're no longer at work. Okay, well, think about it. The next session we deal with is health and welfare. Health and welfare. Well, in terms of health and welfare, we really try to think and try to orient the session to the whole being, the whole person. It's not just your physical health. It's also your mental health, your spiritual health, and how you feel as a whole person. You know, that's the important thing. And all of these things bear on health and your well-being. And it's obviously important to keep up your physical health. So we try to bring in a nurse, a doctor, a dietitian, you know, people who can tell you what the odds are into the future. If you watch your diet, if you're active in exercise, if you keep yourself physically trim, you know, these are very important things to consider in retirement. And you have to begin planning for them. What activities do you have at the age of 50 that you can do at the age of 70, 80, and 90? Which ones are you going to drop off? And which ones are you going to have? You know, so there are things that will keep you healthy many ways, and you want to pick up on things that you can keep going with. Another thing to consider in this regard is what you can afford. You know, it costs money to carry on some kinds of activities that we become accustomed to in our more productive age in terms of finances and this sort of thing. And maybe some of them are just a little too expensive to carry into the future. So, you can think of things that you do, travel, various kinds of things, and they all have a dollar figure that goes with them. So that calls for some planning too. Should you have an annual checkup, physical? And how would you vote? How would you vote in this room? You think that's important?
We'll say for or against.
For. Are you for it? You think it's a good idea? Yeah. Sure. To just get a good checkup on an annual basis, approximately, just to see that your health is
I think that
keeping up.
Blood panel is particularly important. You find out where your cholesterol is and that sort of thing. Important.
You know, I passed out this little folder on senior mentor and associates. And one of the things that we think is so important is that you keep stimulated mentally. And we are now, we've been involved in this kind of thing at the college, getting people who are retired back into the swim of things, not only for their own sake, but for the youngsters who are on the campus. It's a wonderful thing to bridge the gap so that they can see what they're going to be like when they get old. So they have a model in front of them, and it's a good trade-off for the people who are retired. They can come back into the college, take classes without cost, and pick up on whatever they might have missed in their lifetime when they didn't have a chance to do it.
Now
they can
come
back and do it. Or you can teach a course, or you can be active and helping out in the development office or in the secretarial area or in the library, on the grounds of the college. There are all kinds of ways. And it, this is just one example, you see, of the kind of thing. Now, Doris and I are moving to a retirement village complex that's being built on the edge of our campus at Thousand Oaks, California Lutheran College. And it's called La Serena. And we've got folders here that you might want to look at, just to give you an idea. But the basic premise in building this retirement village at that point geographically was to have it next to a college. Because so many retirement homes and villages are very sterile environments. That is, you aren't close to anything where you can walk to all kinds of concerts, activities,
lectures,
library, classroom, you know. And here, just across the street now, we'll be able to walk to the campus and partake in any part of that, you see, that we're able to, as long as we're able to do it. And if you could do it by just walking there, you know, that's quite different than being transported to some distant point where you may do it. Well, that's a kind of a new ministry that's coming in to the thought process of dealing with older people in retirement, is providing things that have a mental stimulus associated with it. And this is one of the things we're trying to do. Any comment?
Here again, I'll just throw these things out. You can help.
Yeah, Doris might just pass these around and you can take a look at them. The next session we deal with is housing. Housing. Where should you live when you retire? Now, you've been living someplace, maybe for a long, long period of time. You have a lot of roots down. And it may seem to you that you should move to some other place. And maybe you should. But I think one of the important things to consider is that it might be a good idea to test it out before you cut any ties or burn any bridges behind you. Because we live in California, and we see people who leave Iowa and Illinois and other places and, you know, come to California. Well, maybe that's good. The weather certainly will be better. We can guarantee you that.
You can get out every day.
You can be in the sunshine all the year around. Now that has something going for it. But there are also many other things you have to think about. You have your family to think about, you have your friends, you have your church, but keep in mind that there are always new friends to be made. There's always a church that you can get to, so you're not giving that up entirely. But the whole consideration of where you should live and a good reason for why you should make a choice one way or the other is a very important planning process. And it's something you don't want to leave to the last minute to decide where you want to go. If you think you want to live in someplace else, go there for a year. Rent your house. Lease another one someplace. Try it out. And one of the ways you can sample this is on your vacation. You know, start out getting acquainted with new areas, even if you're there for only a couple of weeks. You're here in the Northwest right now, maybe the first time, and maybe this is where you'd want to retire. Well, you're getting a sample of it. And the idea is to sample everything you can along the way before you make any final commitments to a particular area. Many things to be considered. The health situation, where you have medical care, where you have good facilities that you can avail yourself of in case you need them. Because one thing none of us can be sure of is that our health is going to hold as it is now for the future. At some point, your health may be a very major problem. And if it is, you want to at least have thought about what you do in case your health breaks down. And how then would you be taken care of? And what provisions can you make for that? So housing, where you live, becomes a very important decision to be made down the line. Do you have any thoughts on the matter? You agree? I think that it's a very important kind of mental process to go through and condition yourself for what you want to do in the future.
I think that stamping idea is very important, because I think we've all known people who have gone someplace for a vacation, it looks beautiful, and they sell, you know, lock, stock, and barrel, and move there, and they find they're lonely or whatever. And
Yeah. The other thing is that we have to be aware of is that our friends are as fragile as we are. You know, and if you locate yourself just because of certain relationships, they may come to an end. And so you have to kind of be prepared for different eventualities and try and think it through as to what would be the best situation to get yourself into.
There are some friends in our church who bought a mobile home in Paradise, California.
Uh-huh.
And they've been going there on weekends and on vacations, and they built a fringe there, so now when they retire this next year, they already have made that bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the idea. Sample it, try it out, then you feel comfortable doing it. Good. Well,
yes, she is.
Question, yes?
It isn't always the best to get too close to your children either.
No.
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
It's nice to be, you know, really close.
Well, that's right. We always said we wouldn't move near our children. If they wanted to move near us, that was their prerogative. Now we have two of them who are just less than 100 miles from us, and we think that's just marvelous. Mm-hmm. But they did the moving, we didn't.
Yeah. The other thing I think in our modern society, it's a very mobile kind of thing, and we feel very close to our children that are on the East Coast, for example. We can be there in 5 hours, you know, the airplane, train, buses, you know, it's possible. So it's a different kind of thing than it used to be.
Well, it's their two boys that are with us here now.
Yeah, we have two grandsons here now, and they live in Columbia, Maryland. So, you know, they're not that far away when you think of it in those terms. Well, the next session deals with sort of final arrangements. You know, at one point, we're all going to die. And if we're married, at one point, there is a surviving spouse. And we never know which it's going to be. But there will be one spouse that survives the other one. So you have to think about that as being a matter of reality. And you make plans accordingly. One of the reasons why in our 8 sessions, we each keep our own data in terms of a notebook, see, that has the situation that relates to each spouse, so that whoever survives, you see, has their own plan for the future. And each are contingent, of course, on what happens to the other. It's important to have a will, because if you don't have a will, the state has one for you. And it includes no charities. So if you have any intent of making any part of your estate charitable, you see, then you want to have your own will that says that's what you want to do with what remains of your estate. The state cannot do that. They have their own formula, and it goes directly in the line of blood relatives. And whether you ever knew that person as a relative, you know, they will they will find the person, and they will deal with it on the laws that exist in the state. Every state is different, but every state has a way of taking care of your will.
We always go to an attorney. We've done a lot of moving, but as soon as we change states, we find an attorney to let us know what the state laws are, and he helps us make a new will. And I feel very comfortable doing it that way right away as soon as we get to another state.
The other thing is that the tax laws keep changing. And in order to get the best benefit from the resources that you have, from a tax point of view, again, you need to know what the new laws are, and the people who are tax attorneys can keep posted on these things, and they can help you. It's almost impossible for us as individuals, unless you're legally trained and really can read the tax laws, to really know where you stand tax-wise. And it might come as quite a shock to you to really see what happens to your estate as it's passed on, see, to other people, and in whatever way you deal with it. There are trusts to be considered. There are various ways of setting it up and to make sure that it is passed on in the way that you wanted it to be passed on. And that's the only way you have of control after you're gone, is to have a will. And it has to be a legal document. And there is no way around that. You either have it or you don't. And so we do get an attorney in, we do talk about this, and we do face the reality of what if you don't, or what if you do. And in some cases, it won't make a great deal of difference. The state's formula may fit what you had in mind, but it may not fit. And if it doesn't, then this is your way of controlling. Costs very little to draw up a will. And it relieves a lot of uncertainty and doubt at the point when death comes. So it's a very important kind of document, and it's just one of the realities of life that we need to face. Final session, count your blessings. This, we spend a couple of hours just thinking about all the good things that are going for us. And point of view of your spiritual life, your ability to now take what's left of these good years that are ahead and volunteer and help, in many, many ways you can be of service to the church, the community, your children, your friends, and yourself. So there's just a lot of blessings that go with retirement. And what are some of them that you would think of? I'll tell you one exercise we do. You might just think about it. We won't do it. But we give each person four little pieces of paper. And you write down the blessings that you think are the most important that you have. What? Good health, family, church,
Faith,
all of these things that are blessings. And then I ask them to close their eyes, hold them out here in front of them, and to just shuffle them, and drop two on the floor. Now, they don't know which ones they drop. Then they open up their eyes. Now then you have lost two of your blessings. You could lose your health. You could lose family. How would you deal with the future? And it's a good reminder that we have lots of things going for us. And we don't want to forget it. We want to live it up every day, enjoying all the blessings that come our way, and keep them in mind and be thankful for them as long as we have them. Any comment? Yes.
A question. I'm talking about wheels. Is it a good idea to have husband and wife both have a wheel?
Yes, right. Yes, it is important. For the simple reason that one will survive the other. And you don't know which. So it is important, yes. Any other questions? We've gone through all of the sessions now, and you've spent 8 weeks in the last hour. So obviously we haven't covered everything. But, yes.
They will put out a program like this, for example, in the church or wherever you ask them to?
Yes. Contact your aid association for Lutheran
people. It's in the telephone directory, I'm sure.
And they they sponsor this program. And they encourage people to inquire about it, and they help set it up. And they pay all the expenses. And so it's available.
And if you decide you would like to be leaders, they take you to Appleton, Wisconsin, and for a week of intensive training. And then every year they bring you in for an update. We go to LA for an update when we get home now for 2 days. All the new things that they put into the course that we hadn't had before, but they update it every year.
They generate new materials, new films, new packets that we can distribute and so on.
Here we have four of these that are a little more detailed on our La Serena Lutheran home next to CLC that I hope you'll take, because we don't want to carry them back to Thousand Oaks.
Yeah, you might be interested in coming to see us. We're going to move there in October. So.
Rudy,
yes.
The question was asked about whether both should have a will. I think you should talk over with your attorney, but it's very important that each one of you sign a separate will, not a mutual will.
Mm-hmm.
Because one leaves, then the remaining party is bound by it, and things can change.
Mm-hmm.
So that you each should.
Separate wills.
Yeah.
Not sign a mutual.
No.
That's right. Any other questions, legal or otherwise? Well, I think how's the time?
It's about that time. Three minutes up,
so
five.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate your being here and your interest in this particular topic.
Thank you.